Part 3. Containing some remarks on M.R. Williams' exceptionable way of reasoning, in support of his own scheme, and in opposition to the contrary principles. Section 1. General observations upon his way of arguing, and answering arguments. With some instances of the first method accepted against. Mr. W. endeavors to support his own opinion, and to confute the book he pretends to answer, by the following methods. 1. By frequently misrepresenting what I say, and then disputing or exclaiming against what he wrongfully charges as mine. 2. By misrepresenting what others say in their writings, whose opinions he pretends to espouse. 3. By seeming to oppose and confute arguments, and yet only saying things which have no reference at all to them, but relate entirely to other matters that are altogether foreign to the argument in hand. 4. By advancing new and extraordinary notions, which are both manifestly contrary to truth, and also contrary to the common apprehensions of the Christian Church in all ages. 5. By making use of peremptory and confident assertions, instead of arguments. 6. By using great exclamation, in the room of arguing, as though he would amuse and alarm his readers, and excite terror in them, instead of rational conviction. 7. By wholly overlooking arguments, and not answering at all, pretending that there is no argument, nothing to answer, when the case is manifestly far otherwise. 8. By frequently turning off an argument with this reflection, that it is begging the question, when there is not the least show or pretext for it. 9. By very frequently begging the question himself, or doing that which is equivalent. 10. By often alleging and insisting on things in which he is inconsistent with himself. As to the first of these methods used by Mr. W.1E, his misrepresenting what I say, and then disputing or exclaiming against what he injuriously charges as mine, many instances have been already observed. I now would take notice of some other instances. In pages 15-100 he charges me with affirming vehemently, in a number of repetitions, that the doctrine taught is, that no manner of pretense to any visible holiness is made or designed to be made. These he cites as my words, marking them with notes of quotation. Whereas I never said or thought any such thing, but the contrary. I knew that those whose doctrine I opposed, declared that visible holiness was necessary and take particular notice of it, pages 8. Where I say, it is granted on all hands, that none ought to be admitted, as members of the visible Church of Christ, but visible saints, and argue on the supposition for 15 pages together, in that same part of my book where Mr. W. charges me with asserting the contrary. What I say is, that people are taught, that they come into the church without any pretense to sanctifying grace, pages 15. D. I do not say, without a pretense to visible holiness. Thus Mr. W. alters my words, to make them speak something not only diverse but contrary to what I do say, and say very often. And so takes occasion, or rather makes an occasion, to charge me before the world, with telling a manifest untruth, pages 15. D. Again, Mr. W. in answering my argument concerning brotherly love, pages 70. E. 71. A. represents me as arguing, that in the exercise of Christian love described in the Gospel, there is such an union of hearts, as there cannot be of a saint to an unsanctified man. Which is a thing I never said, and is quite contrary to the sentiments which I have abundantly declared. I indeed speak of that brotherly love, as what cannot be of a saint to one that is not apprehended and judged to be sanctified. But that notion of a peculiar love, which cannot be to an unsanctified man, or without the reality of holiness in the person beloved, is what I ever abhorred, and have borne a most loud and open and large testimony against, again and again, from the press, 597, and did so in the preface to that very book which Mr. W. writes against. In pages 74. A. B. Mr. W. represents me as supposing, that in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, both the covenanting parties, namely, Christ and the communicant, seal to the truth of the communicant's faith. Or that both seal to this as true, that the communicant does receive Christ. Whereas, by me, No such thing was ever thought, nor is anything said that has such an aspect. What I say is very plain and express, pages 75. That Christ by his minister professes his part of the covenant, presents himself, and professes the willingness of his heart to be theirs who receive him. That on the other hand, the communicant in receiving the offered symbols, professes his part in the covenant, and the willingness of his heart to receive Christ who is offered. How different is this from both parties sealing to the truth of the communicant's faith? In pages 76, 77, and 80, he greatly misrepresents my argument from "Let a man examine himself," etc., as though I supposed the Greek word translated examine must necessarily imply an examination to approbation, that it signifies to approve, and that a man's examination must mean his approving himself to himself to be sanctified. This representation he makes over and over, and builds his answer to the argument upon it. And in opposition to this, he says, pages 77, 100, wherever the word means to examine to approbation, it is not used in its natural sense, but magnanimically. Whereas, there is not the least foundation for such a representation, no such thing is said or suggested by me, as if I supposed that the meaning of the word is to approve, or to examine to approbation. What I say is, that it properly signifies proving or trying a thing, whether it be true and of the right sort. Pages 77. D. And, in the same place, I expressly speak of the word in the manner Mr. W. does, as not used in its natural sense, but magnanimically, when it is used to signify prove. So that Mr. W.'s representation is not only diverse from, but contrary to, what I say. Indeed, I suppose as well I may that when the Apostle directs persons to try themselves with respect to their qualifications for the Lord's Supper, he would not have them come, if upon trial they find themselves not qualified. But it would be ridiculous to say, that I therefore suppose the meaning of the word, try or examine, is to approve, when it is evident that the trying is only in order to knowing whether a thing is to be approved, or disapproved. In pages 98, B. On the argument from John's baptism, Mr. W. alters my words, bringing them the better to comport with the odious representation he had made of my opinion, namely, that I required giving an account of experiences, as a term of communion. He puts in words as mine which are not mine, and distinguishes them with marks of quotation, charging me with representing it as probable that John had as much time to inquire into their experiences as into their doctrinal knowledge. Whereas, my words are these, pages 101. A. He had as much opportunity to inquire into the credibility of their profession, as he had to inquire into their doctrinal knowledge and moral character. In pages 118. D. And to the like purpose, pages 134. 100. Our author represents me, and others of my principles, as holding, that the gospel does peremptorily sentence men to damnation for eating and drinking without sanctifying grace. But surely Mr. W. would have done well to have referred to the place in my inquiry, where anything is said that has such an appearance. 4. I find nothing that I have said in that book, or any other writing of mine, about the gospel peremptorily sentencing such men to damnation, or signifying how far I thought they were exposed to damnation, or expressing my sentiments more or less about the matter. In pages 130, and 131, A. Mr. W. says, when one sees with what epithets of honor Mr. Edwards in some parts of his book has complimented Mr. Stoddard, it must look like a strange medley to tack to them, that he was a weak beggar of his question, a supposer of what was to be proved, taking for granted the point in controversy, inconsistent with himself, ridiculously contradicting his own arguments. These expressions, which Mr. W. speaks of as tacked to those honorable epithets, he represents as expressions which I had used concerning Mr. Stoddard. And his readers that have not consulted my book will doubtless take it so from his manner of representation. Whereas, the truth is, no one of these expressions is used concerning Mr. S. anywhere in my book. Nor is there one disrespectful word spoken of him there. All the ground Mr. W. had to make such a representation was, that in answering arguments against my opinion I endeavored to show them to be weak, though I do not find that I used that epithet, and certainly for one to pretend to answer arguments, and yet allow them to be strong, would be to show himself to be very weak. In answering some of these arguments, and endeavoring to show wherein the inconclusiveness of them lay, I have sometimes taken notice that the defect lay in what is called begging the question, or supposing the thing to be proved. And if I had said so concerning Mr. S., these arguments, speaking of them as his, I do not know why it should be represented as any personal reflection, or an handsome dishonorable treatment of him. Every inconclusive argument is weak. And the business of a disputant is to show wherein the weakness lies, but to speak of arguments as weak, is not to call men weak. All the ground Mr. W. has to speak of me as saying, that Mr. S. ridiculously contradicted his own arguments is, that on pages 11, citing some passages out of Mr. S. D.'s appeal, I use these words. But how he reconciled these passages with the rest of his treatise, I would modestly say, I must confess myself at a loss. And particularly I observed, that I could not see how they consist with what he says, pages 16, and so proceed to mention one thing which appears to me not well to consist with them. But certainly this is not indecently to reflect on Mr. S. any more than Mr. W. indecently reflects on the first reformers, in his answer to Mr. Croswell, pages 74, 75. Where speaking of their doctrine of a particular persuasion as of the essence of saving faith, he says, they are found inconsistent with themselves, and their doctrine lighter than vanity. And again, pages 82. If ever, says Mr. W., any men were confuted from their own concessions, these divines are. And more to the like purpose. Which gives me a fair occasion to express the like wonder at him, as he does at me, pages 131. A. But I forbear personal reflections. Mr. W. in the same P. D. has these words. And to say, that all unsanctified men do profess and seal their consent to the covenant of grace in the Lord's Supper, when they know at the same time they do not consent to it, nor have their heart at all in the affair, is something worse than begging the question, that is, as I suppose, the same that he charged me with before, telling a manifest untruth. By which he plainly suggests, that I have said thus. Whereas, I nowhere say, nor in any respect signify that I suppose, all unsanctified communicants do know that they do not consent to the covenant of grace. I never made any doubt, but that multitudes of unsanctified communicants are deceived, and think they do consent to it. In pages 132. D. He says of me, the author endeavors to show, that the admitting unsanctified persons tends to the ruin and reproach of the Christian Church, and to the ruin of the persons admitted. But how widely different is this from what I express in the place he refers to. Inc. p. 121. 100 That which I say there, is, that by express liberty given, to open the door to as many as please, of those who have no visibility of real saintship, and make no profession of it, nor pretension to it, is a method which tends to the ruin and great reproach of the Christian Church, and also to the ruin of the persons admitted. I freely grant, and show abundantly in my book, it is never to be expected, that all unsanctified men can be kept out, by the most exact attendance on the rules of Christ, by those that admit members. In pages 136. D. Mr. W. wholly without grounds speaks of me as representing, that unconverted men make pretension to nothing but what God's enemies have, remaining in open and avowed rebellion against him. Whereas, I suppose that some natural men do profess, and profess truly, many things, which those have not, who are open and avowed enemies of God. They may truly profess that sort of moral sincerity, in many things belonging to morality and religion, which avowed enemies have not, nor is there any sentence or word in my book, which implies or intimates the contrary. In pages 141. 100 D. Mr. W. evidently insinuates, that I am one of those who have men live never so strictly conformable to the laws of the gospel, and never so diligently seek their own salvation, to outward appearance, yet do not stick to speak of them, and act openly towards them, as persons giving no more public evidence, that they are not the enemies of God and haters of Jesus Christ, than the very worst of the heathen. But surely everyone that has read my book, Everyone that knows my constant conduct and manner of preaching, as well as writing, and how much I have written, said, and done, against judging and censoring persons of an externally moral and religious behavior, must know how injurious this representation of me is.